A couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday, LaRue had shared the message about the law of the Spirit for our body. I just began wondering, how does that apply to our soul? Out of that place, I began to just allow him to begin, showing me something, and it's been developing ever since. And it's really kind of remarkable. But one of the things that I wanted to show is this fullness that is in God. Because there's something that we've been missing, and it's time for us to find out what that thing is. Okay, so if you would, just turn with me to 1 John. Because he's building a family. As that we get to be the family. We get to be the sons and the daughters. He'd be the papa. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:1-3 here. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have held with our hands, handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. And what we have seen and heard and proclaim to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. What is He saying? He's saying this. He's saying that Jesus was the first man born spiritually alive since Adam. Matter of fact, the only one to be born spiritually alive since Adam. Now, we get to have the opportunity to become spiritually alive when we accept what Christ is offering us. But see, Jesus was born spiritually alive. There is something that happened in His life as a result of that being spiritually alive. And if you look in Hebrews 4:15, what you'll find out is that He lived for 33 years, was tempted in all things like we are, and yet without sin. Who of you is without sin? Just since last week. So He knew something. He's experiencing something. He was walking in something that we have not made available to ourselves, because it's been made available to us. So if you go to Romans 5, but what we want to find out is, what is this thing that's been missing? Romans 5:12 says this, and this is kind of a foundation stone for this teaching. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all had sinned. The law of sin and death came into existence because of what happened with Adam. We see that very quickly after the law of sin and death came in, things began to decline rather quickly, because in Genesis 4, one chapter after the law of sin and death entered in, we see that murder and jealousy came forth. He said to Cain, he says, be careful, because sin is crouching at your door, but you must be master over it. Sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at that point of entry, because see, we actually get to decide whether or not we allow for this sin to come in. The Lord wants us to know and wants us to recognize is that in all of this, this is all was the whole sin and death thing. It was just something that the enemy is using as a license to steal. To steal from us. He's been taking, using this license to steal, to take the things that He had been offering us, the things that God had been offering us, and begin to just take away what God was doing. The law of sin and death comes to bring that death into your understanding. It comes to bring murder and rage and jealousy like it did for Cain. It comes to move us into torment and fear. It comes to move us into things that were not what God was doing. Because of the law of sin and death coming in. See, the Lord began to institute something with the Israelites through Moses, called the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was something that came to begin to corral their nature, to begin to give them a set of God rules and guidelines that could contain this law of sin and death. The law was in effect a schoolmaster. The law of Moses was in effect a schoolmaster. But what we've begun to find out is that within, because of this law of sin and death, because of this old nature that we inherited from Adam, because of the fall, those things that have come in, that we can't actually begin to be the expression of God because of those things. And yet we were created to be the very image of Christ. We were created to walk in dominion. And yet, see, we got to find out why we're not walking in that dominion. See, the devil and all his crowd, they're very legalistic. And so what we've been doing is we've been fighting a battle at the fruit level and not at the root level. Because what we need to do now is go back and look, what did we miss at the root? And what we missed at the root is explained just a few chapters over here in Romans 8 and 2. It says, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. It has set you free. Has, past tense, already done it for you, set you free. It's already been there. And so it's just up to us to begin understanding this enough to allow it to manifest in our life. When we begin to understand what this law has done, the freedom that we've got and from it, Galatians 5 and 1 says that for freedom you were set free. For freedom, you are set free. And therefore, we don't have to enter again into bondage. So what we want to do is now begin to recognize the freedom that we've been given. And recognize how do we obtain this freedom? And how do we see this freedom? We also get to recognize in this when the law of the Spirit of life came in. Now, not only does it do away with the law of sin and death, but there's no more need for the law of Moses either. Why? Because now we're being governed by an internal law. We're being governed by something God has put on the inside of us. We no longer need an external thing to corral us, to be our schoolmaster, to teach us for our need for a Savior. Because in order to receive the law of the Spirit of life, we have already received Christ. And when we receive Christ, we receive that which is going to govern your nature from the inside. It's going to make a change and a difference to you from the inside. It's the change, it's the thing that begins to empower the new nature within you. What did it say in Jeremiah 31 and 33? In 31:33 it says, I will put my law in them. I will put my law within them, and then they will be my people, and I will be their God. It is necessary for us to step in and recognize it. He said, when he says, I'll put my law, by that statement, he was just already telling you that the law of sin and death, the law of Moses, they weren't his law. He'll put my law, the law of the Spirit of life, in your heart. I put my law in your heart because, see, in that, now I can begin to have a people who are truly my people. Now I can have a people who are looking to follow after me, who are looking to understand and be a part of this thing that I call family. Because now I can be their God. I don't have to rule them by an external rule. I rule them by the very nature that is within them. Their nature is now having a desire for me. That's what he's looking for. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 10 and 4 says this, that Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. That Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. He's the end of the law of sin and death for everyone who believes. We're not left by ourselves. We're not left to our own devices. You know, sometimes there have been moments when I've been, as a Christian, I thought that I was just left to just drift out here. But see, what I see now is God has put a foundation down there ever before I even became a Christian. He's put a foundation there for me. And this foundation is the thing that's going to shift my understanding. This foundation is that law of the Spirit of life. Because see, when I understand the Spirit of life, when I can begin to understand why that Christ could live for 33 years and be without sin, even being tempted is just like we are. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to look at something that's a very familiar scripture and show you something that's a little bit different. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, new things have become. Behold, new things have come. In other words, all things have become new. What does this mean? When I began to look at this, it began to catch my eye. It says, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. I believe it's the King James says he's a new creation. When he's a new creation, well, the other thing for that Greek word, which is katesis. Katesis, the other meaning of that word katesis is ordinance. What's an ordinance? If you see a sign posted and say, you know, no drinking in front of this store by ordinance of the city, it's a law. What is he saying? You've become a new law. You've become a new law. When you've accepted Christ and you stepped into this place that Christ has for you, you became a new law. The law of Spirit of life came alive in you. In the same way that he was given the Spirit of life even as a child, you have also become allowed that Spirit of life to come in forth in you. When that happens, the Amplified defined it the old, saying the old has passed away, as being the old is defined in the Amplified as being that previous moral and spiritual condition that was upon you. The previous moral and spiritual condition that was upon you, that has passed away. That's passed away. Let me just speak this, because we're talking about three different laws. And as charismaniacs, when you begin to talk about law, then people get. But see, there's something you need to understand. See, the word, the term law, it's amoral. It's indifferent. It's neither right or wrong. Okay, the law is just a term. We've begun to associate the law with some things that were, because of the charismatic message, we've begun to associate law as being maybe a bad thing, but see, that's not God's intention. God actually says that the law was righteous, holy, and good. The only problem with the law was that it couldn't make you righteous, holy, and good. The Spirit of life can. The law of the Spirit of life can. The law of Moses couldn't change you. The law of sin and death didn't change you for the better. It changed you in ways that were not good. But now God says, I've given you a new law. I've given you a new spirit. I've given you a new nature. And see, it's this, the law of the of Spirit of life is that which enforces the new nature. Why? Because what does a law do? Think about it for just a second. What does a law do? A law announces and decrees and enforces the will of the king. It enforces the will of the king. When your king is Jesus, that's a good thing. When your king is somebody else, it might not be so good. But when our king is Jesus, and it enforces the will of the king, that's a wonderful thing. Because see, now I have something that's a buffer between me and the enemy. Because see, the will of the king is to do good for me. There's so much that he wants to do. He said, it's his nature to do good for you. It's his nature to do good with you and through you. And that's what God wants to do. What else does it do? A law governs our behaviors. And it protects us from outside aggression. The law defining where my territory is and where my neighbor's territory is set up to define and create a boundary between me and my neighbor. So if my neighbor wants to step over this line and come and rob me, the law says, no, you don't. Now, when the law is the law of the Spirit of life, and it's the enemy who's wanting to come and rob me of life, he's wanting to come and steal from me and take something from my nature or my character, now, the law says, no, you don't. No, you don't. The law of the Spirit of life. Law of Spirit of life is now working on your behalf, making a change to your very environment. Sometimes that law is just separating us from the deception. You know, because sometimes the enemy's aggression is simply is a deception. I had this young lady who was doing Sozo, and as we were going through Sozo, there were several devils that were dealt with and cast out, and we got down to this one. I could tell there was still something else going on there. And the Lord just said, ask her what's going on, because we weren't getting anywhere. Because she was one who was very visual. She could see what was happening. And so I said, well, just tell me what you see. She says, I see this cute little thing down here. See, he's all fuzzy and cute and he's warm and his name is Larry. And I said, well, I mean, what do you want to do with Larry? He says, oh, he's okay. I'll just keep him. That's the deception. Well, I said, well, then, you know, would you mind looking at Larry to see, you know, would it be okay if we just asked the Lord to show you what Larry really looks like? And so she said, no, that's okay, that's fine. I'm looking at this cute little fuzzy thing. And the next thing I know, I said, well, Lord Jesus, would you just show her what Larry really looks like? And the next thing I know, she's screaming. He's like, "Wah!" So I said, do you want Larry anymore? And she says, no. And so we sent Larry away. I had a lot more cooperation that time than I did the first time. See, Larry was her acronym. Larry meant lust, avarice, rebellion, idolatry. And there was another R in there. I don't remember what it was. But see, all that was balled up in this deception of something that was cute and fuzzy and we can hang on to it. It's okay. The law of the Spirit of life comes to separate you from that deception. It comes to declare that, no, that doesn't belong over here. That doesn't belong over here. This is the kingdom of righteousness. This is the kingdom of joy. It doesn't belong over here. This is the kingdom of peace. So that war has to go over there. God is bringing a separation. See, a while ago we were talking about it enforces the position of the king. This is what the law, it's the law of Spirit of life that is enforcing the new nature that's within you. It's the decree of the king that these things shouldn't be so. It's the decree of the king to because he's already said that you are righteous. You are holy. It wasn't your doing. It's not dependent upon you. It's not dependent upon you. It was not your doing. It's what God already decreed for you. And because he decreed it, you can just believe it. Hallelujah. See, what we have to begin to understand that these things are positional truth. What we mean by positional truth? Positional truth is something that's been stated in the Word. You may or may not yet have obtained it. For example, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's a positional truth for some. For me, it's just a reality now. But for some, it's still a positional truth. It's something that can be had, and it's there and it's available, but we got to take advantage of it. This law of the Spirit of life, it's a positional truth, and it's available to you. Just like the place of tongues, and just like the baptism of the Spirit is available to you, but you got to take advantage of it. You got to begin to realize it's there, and begin to realize you can enforce on the enemy now, because you have this thing right here, and you can declare, oh, sickness and disease, you're out there. Addiction, mental illness, you're out there. You don't belong in here anymore. See, because there are a couple of things that happen when we begin to understand that this law. The second thing that begins to happen is in Romans 8:21. So we'll take a look there. He's putting his law in our hearts for a reason. Romans 8:21, we see right here, it says that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. See, what we're looking at here is something that begins to change the very foundation of how we relate with Christ. Because see, it, right there, the very law of the Spirit begins to make us and create us to be one with Him. It's one family. It's perfect that we're doing this on Father's Day. It's one family. He moves us into those things which are the glory of the children of God. I want to share some of those things maybe in just a minute, because there's a lot there when we get, if you begin to unpack what is the glory of the children of God. But I want to get you there first. But what was important here is that we recognize that this is not just about giving you something that gives you a little head knowledge. It's not about better info. It's a better law. The law of gravity says if I let go of this, it falls. But however many of you have been on an airplane, which is far heavier than this thing, and it flies. Because the law of lift is greater than the law of gravity. The law of your new nature, the law of the Spirit of life is greater than the law of sin and death. It's greater than the law of Moses. It's greater than the things that the enemy has tried to put up against you. It's the law of Spirit of life that sets you free. Because it sets you free, now you can begin to enjoy the freedoms of the children of God. You can begin to enjoy the freedom of what this relationship with God has gotten to you and what it's brought into your life. We're talking here about unlocking your potential. unlocking your potential. Because so much of what we do has been bound up in the spirit of sin and death. It's been related directly back to the spirit of sin and death because we don't know we've been given a spirit of freedom. Because we're not walking in the freedom that we've been given. We're back up to Romans 6. It says, Romans 6, verse 6, says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Our old self was crucified. The old self was laid upon the cross. When you recognize Christ's work in your life, that old self is laid up upon that same cross. And now the Spirit of life, the same Spirit of life that brought resurrection life to his body, begins to bring resurrection life to your body, to your soul, and to your understanding. Because see, all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are in him. And so therefore, they're in this Spirit of life. He begins to awaken you to the understanding of what is in you. The old self was dead. It says, verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. A minute ago in Romans, in verse 6, I think it was, and he said, the body of sin. He's not talking about your physical body. He's saying about the whole collective nature of everything that you've ever done that was wrong. Everything that didn't line up with what God's plan and purpose. Everything that fell short of his ultimate glory. That body of work. He's describing a body of work. A body of effort. The efforts that we put in. How many of you spent a lot of effort trying to party hard? We spent a lot of effort. You know, that whole body of work. He says, it's all gone. It's all gone. Because of what I've done, because of the spirit of what the Spirit of life has provided for you, it's all gone. The old self is crucified. We're no longer victims. We're no longer victims of our past. We're no longer victims of what someone else did or what someone else we imagined they did. We can begin to understand that that body of work, whatever it was laid aside. Remember we talked about earlier that Genesis 4, when the Lord spoke to Cain, he said, you know, sin is crouching at your door, but you must be master over it. That's our background for looking at verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you. For you're not under law. You're not under the law of sin and death. But under grace. What is this telling us? That grace is an operation of the law of spirit of life. Grace is an operation of the law of spirit of life. See, when we begin to understand what the real purpose of grace is, now then we can begin to define what the spirit of life is doing for us. Recognize this. You know, the sin no longer has dominion over us. No longer has dominion over us. It's saying, why? It says grace. Well, just over there in chapter 8, it just says that sin has no dominion over us because of the Spirit of life. So grace and the Spirit of life. See, grace is just one of the many operations of the Spirit of life. But grace comes into your life, according to Titus 2, to teach you how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the purpose of grace. The purpose of grace is to enable you to carry forth with the mission of the Father, because as we carry forth with the mission of the Father, then you'll be in His perfect will. When we begin to recognize this grace, it teaches us how to shut the door on sin. To shut the door on sin, because it's going to teach us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It teaches us how to shut the door. How to begin to recognize those things before they even have a chance to come in. How to begin to set a boundary because, no, the Spirit of life says, no, you got it out there. I recognize that you're at my point of entry and you stay out there. You have no place in here anymore. You know, sometimes all it takes is for us to recognize something is not our friend. I'll just give you a real practical example out of my own life. Anger was something that, you know, that I saw was my friend for a long time. Why? Because I learned at a young age that if I got angry enough, I could get my way. If I got angry enough, then I could make others do what I wanted them to do. If I got angry enough, I could go into this place of rage and I could do things that were unthinkable. And so what I actually learned to do, I would actually, if I was going for a job interview, I would sit in my car and I would rage. Because then when I walk in, I would just dominate. So I would, basically what I would learn to do was summon this demon of anger. What I had to learn to do then is when I came to the place of recognizing what was really going on, when I came to recognizing what this anger was really doing to me and how it really wasn't my friend. And I had to begin to say, hey, you're not my friend. You go out there. Spirit of life began coming into action for me, even though I didn't know what it was at the time. The Spirit of life began enforcing what God was putting in me and in my new nature. He began to change my nature. Because see, my old fallen nature, it wanted to rage. And then, you know, there was times when it would come up and it would be in between me and something else. And, you know, it was real easy to try to slide back into that. But now I can recognize it doesn't have any part of me. It's not my friend. Now, I don't know what your issue is. We can bring some more people up here and talk about your issue. All right. But whatever it is, you can apply the same thing because you recognize it's not my friend. You recognize it's not my friend, and that means that the law of spirit of life has come to enforce the will of the Father. It comes to enforce the will of the Father on my behalf. Whatever, even if it's physical pain, it can come and enforce the will of the Father. When it's mental pain, it comes and enforce the will of the Father. Because see, we don't need to be in torment. We don't need to be in anxiety. We don't need to be in fear. We don't need to be in all those things because the will of the Father isn't for those things. We recognize they're not our friend. Just because it's familiar doesn't make it God. Romans 5:21 says this. That is this as sin reigned in death, even so grace, or the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life, might reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just giving you another way to define it and to tie it together. John 1:17 says that grace and truth were realized in Christ Jesus. Grace and truth were realized in Christ Jesus, meaning that the Spirit of life came through Christ Jesus. Because He was the first one born with a spirit that was spiritually alive. So when He came on the scene, that life was deposited for us. When He came on the scene, suddenly now we can begin to be defined as Christians. Because see, it's the grace and the truth that separate us from everybody else. Every other religion. There is no other religion that has the feature called grace. There's no other religion that has the place of the truth in God, because only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only He is the way, the truth, and the life. You have to recognize this is the essence of our Christianity. It's the essence of who and what He's created us to be. The spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life, becomes the foundation of what He's created us to be. And it's out of this foundation that He was able to walk a perfect life. And He's given you the opportunity. Hebrews 13:9 says this, is that the heart is established with grace. The heart is established with grace. The heart is established with the spirit of life. The heart is established with the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life. Why is, what does that mean? That means that now my will can come into alignment with the Father's will. Because see, whatever it is that my heart seeks, that's where I'm going. Whatever it is that my heart begins to meditate on, whatever I understand the heart to be, that's where I begin to look for, and that's where my will is added to. So this law of the Spirit of life is not only changing my understanding, but it's also beginning to cause an alignment in my will. And as my will is aligned, then my soul will follow. When my will gets aligned, now my soul has something that it can begin to travel with and begin to be friends with and begin to understand that we've got somewhere to go, that it wasn't just where the flesh wanted to go. You're never going to cast out flesh with flesh. But you can cast out flesh with the will of the Father. You can cast out flesh with the law of the Spirit of life. That's where we're going. Acts 20 and 32. But it says this, that grace builds you up and gives you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Grace builds you up and gives you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. What does that mean? It means he's given you a new upline. He's given you a new heritage to come forth from. Because see, so not all of us had the blessing to be, to have a mom and a dad where everything was perfect and where they did what they were supposed to do. And because not everybody had those opportunities in their life. God has given you the opportunity to find that. And he's going to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. He didn't say he's going to give you an inheritance among those who are worldly. He's going to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified, those who are following after him, those who are walking according to the measure of grace, those who are looking after the things of the law of the Spirit. When we begin to understand that, now we can begin to understand that grace is going to do the things that are required to change me. Because if there's something that's not in alignment between me and God, is it God's issue? Is it Kim's issue? Is it my issue? If it's between me and her, it's probably mine. But see, what does this mean? It means those things that are your family traits. God's given you a new upline. Just because your daddy was broke, busted, and disgusted doesn't mean you got to be broke, busted, and disgusted anymore. Just because mama was in the insane asylum doesn't mean you got to be in anymore. It doesn't matter whatever the upline was. It doesn't matter whatever the spirit was. Whatever happened out there, whatever's happened in the past, those things don't describe you anymore. Because the spirit of grace and the spirit of law of life has come into an existence in your thought and in your process. God's setting you free. He's setting you free from that past. He's setting you free from whatever else that was defining you. Hebrews 12 and 28 says that by grace we serve God acceptably. That means that there's a new law in my members. All the anger, all the fear, all the addiction. None of those things have control over me anymore. None of those things have to define me anymore. Why? Because they have no legal right anymore. Because now I'm being seen that the law of the Spirit of life can define a new law for me to describe everything that I'm going to supply to and subscribe to. I'll give you an example. 2 Timothy 1:1-7 is the first scripture that I ever memorized, but God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Well, you know what? For many years I've been quoting that scripture, but now I found something that makes it work even better. I found something that I can hang on to. Because see, fear is something that's going to hold you back. Fear is something that tries to keep you from attaining what God has described for you. But love promotes. Love promotes. And that's a whole nother lesson. We talked about last week sometime. But love is going to promote you. Love promotes you. But the fear no longer has a right to describe your circumstance. The fear no longer has a right to begin to push you around and train you in the way it wants you to go. It has no longer that right to take advantage of your ignorance. Because now you've been told about the law of the Spirit of life. Now you've been informed what the law of the Spirit of life can begin to do and to shape for you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, I think, or 3, that we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. Well, unfortunately, we as a church have been ignorant of Satan's schemes. Maybe Paul wasn't, but you know, the church lost something in the dark ages. But now we're finding it again. Now we're finding it again. We're finding those truths. We're mounting out those truths that have begun to change and shape the way the world looks at Christians. Because Christians will be affecting the world in a positive way. See, fear holds you back because, see, fear and rejection will cause you to back off from a relationship. Fear and rejection will cause you to sever a tie. It'll cause you to sever a relationship with somebody that God meant for you to be with. Because you just move out of fear and rejection rather than allow them to hurt you. No, I'll just hurt them. And that way, they can't hurt me. You think people don't do it? I did it all the time. Because see, rejection says, you know, they're fixing to reject me. And that was really painful. And I don't want to walk there anymore. So I'm going to just shut this off. I'll do something this absolutely stupid and make them mad at me and they'll go away. And we do this out of fear. What's the root of that? The fear. The fear of the being hurt. And yet that might have been the very person God put in your life to bring you, to corral you enough to bring you to the best that God has. It's not always pleasant to be where God puts you. Sometimes it's painful to be where God puts you. But there's always going to be something learned, always going to be something gained out of that. It's not always going to be comfortable. There's another one, pride. Pride will cause you to do things that you shouldn't do. You know, you can have absolutely nothing and still have pride. You can be poor, you know, as a church mouse is what they say, you know, poor as a church mouse and still have this pride, right? I got nothing. I'm living homeless under the bridge, but I got my pride. Well, unfortunately, sometimes what that pride is, it's the very thing that's keeping you right where you're at. Pride will put you in bad places. I can remember on senior skip day, I got a car full of people. We're all going out to the lake. Everybody's good. We're all partying. We're having a good time. Several of us are all in a line and it's raining. Okay. And so we're going around and as you get closer to the lake, the roads start winding. And see, I used to always be able to drive my Grand Sport. I had a Buick Grand Sport. It's still my favorite car. I could take that thing and I could spin it sideways to where it'd be just almost totally perpendicular to the road and then spin it back straight and go straight. So I come around this corner and I spin it sideways to where it's perfectly perpendicular to the road and I hit a dry spot. And it went straight into the ditch. And so there the front of my car is underwater and in the back of my car, the wheels are not even touching the ground anymore. And it's about perfectly centered. It's just kind of rocking on the edge of the concrete. And all these people are in my car. See, what pride do to me? Put me in a bad place. Suddenly, I wasn't king anymore. Suddenly, things were coming down real quick. So I had to get everybody on the back of the trunk. I got one real light girl up there in the car and put it in reverse and just told her, just ease it. And all the rest of us sat on the trunk and we got it backed up and out of the ditch. But I did not make everybody happy. Because pride put me in a bad place. Pride puts us in a bad place. See, pride keeps us from learning. Pride keeps you from learning those lessons. Pride wants to put you in places where you're insisting upon your rights instead of upon the rights of Christ. It blocks you from receiving. You know, pride will block you from receiving. A certain company got a hold of my bank account information and they stole some money from me. So that started a series of things that have been going on with the bank for a year and a half plus. And basically what I began to see, I was insisting on my rights because, you know, this guy stole it from me. I'm insisting on my rights. I'm insisting that this injustice be restored. But see, what God showed me was that I was so busy looking to have this injustice fixed because my pride was involved. I was seeking to have this injustice restored because that's just what I wanted, but I didn't ever even stop to realize that, you know, God can make for me a whole lot more money than that and just one person walking up to me. And all that time that I spent worrying and fretting and being mad over this other thing, God can bring the restoration in an instant. All I had to do was let go and let God begin to bring the restoration. Whatever, it doesn't matter who it was that was creating the injustice. What matters is the fact that I need to get my ideas and my understanding aligned. And because when in the alignment of my understanding, I did not need to pursue that anymore when He began to show me. When He began to show me what the real issue was. It's just a matter of surrender. Because see, I could have spent that time, if I'd spent that time praying, God would have brought more than that in that amount of time. Amen? Amen. So we don't have to be insisting on getting our way because of pride. We can begin to receive what God has intended for us to receive. Hallelujah. I have. Let me just remember, I told you about the glory of the children of God, right? A little bit ago. Because, see, we've been set free to the freedom, to recognize the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And in that freedom, recognize the glory of the children is first and foremost that you're freely loved. You're freely loved. You're accepted. And when you're freely loved and accepted, then there's no need for insecurity. There's no need for jealousies. There's no need for competition. All those things happen because we don't understand that we're freely loved. When we totally understand that we are freely loved, then our needs are met. And we can understand that God is, because He's a God, He's a good God, that He's going to meet your need in a way that's above and beyond anything that you could have done anyway. Our needs are met. Well, no matter what that need is, when we understand we're freely loved. There's no need for pride. There's no need for greed. Why would I need to steal something from you when I've got more than I can use? I don't need to be in competition with someone else because God's already doing it in me. Why do I care what you do? Let's be blessed. Right? The glory of the children of God is the desire. There's a desire for obedience. When you're freely loved, now you can have a desire for obedience. When you have a desire for obedience, there's no need for rebellion. Rebellion is just another one of those things when we don't understand the love that's been given to us. We don't understand that love, so we react with rebellion. Rebellion is just another place of trying to get our way. Isn't it interesting? The way the world pursues things is that we obey to be accepted. The way God pursues things is God accepted so we could obey. God accepted you so you could have the opportunity to obey. The thing that we're doing, it could be exactly the same, but the nature of why we do it changes entirely. When we understand that if we're free to obey, we can obey. Because I'm loved and accepted. It's part of the glory of the children of God. The glory of the children of God means that you're free from physical and emotional pain. And when you're free from physical and emotional pain, it changes your personality. And that changes what happens to you. I remember, and I've said this before, but I remember just before I got saved, the reason that I got saved was because my back got healed. But before I got saved, I would wake up every day and have to do a push-up on the side of the bed just to get crouched over to get into the shower. But all that pain, that constant living in this pain that never went away, it was there with me every waking moment, changed my personality. And when I got healed, my personality changed again. Because see, now I no longer needed to bark out of this frustration that I was having to deal with, this thing that was behind me all the time. Because God healed it. I mean, when He heals you, it sets you free from that pain, whether it's emotionally or physically. You know, the wounds that wound the most are the emotional, the ones in your soul. Because those are the ones that can cripple you for a life. Whereas, you know, every handicap known to man, somebody's lived past that and lived outside of that handicap, no matter what it was. But the ones of the soul, those handicaps of the soul, keep people locked down forever. But there's so much available to us. The law of the Spirit of life sets you free from that captivity. The law of the Spirit of life said, you don't have to be emotionally handicapped the rest of your life. The law of the Spirit of life says, you can walk in total and complete freedom. The law, the glory of the children of God means that we can be free from the deceiver and his deception. And when I can know truth, I can know truth. The greatest thing that the Spirit of life has brought for you is your access. Your access. Your access to the Father Himself. This is Father's Day, so it's a good time for us to talk about that access. But recognize that this access to the Father Himself is not about you. And because it's not about you, your access to Him is instantaneous. You're one thought away from being with Him. One thought away. There's not even enough time. By the time I clap my fingers, click my fingers, it's already done. It's already gone. I mean, you're right there. Your access is that quick. Everything else we do is a way that we do to condition our heart, our soul, our mind to get in alignment with what God already provided. All the things that we've done, all the things we've done about learning how to come into the right hand, all those are doing is reinforcing what God already declared for you. What's been made available to you? This access has been guaranteed because it wasn't ever based on you or your performance. And because it wasn't based on your performance, it's not about what you do. And that's real good news for at least me and probably most of you. Hallelujah. The whole thing in Romans 8 is he's bringing you to a conclusion. He's telling you that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who will follow after the Spirit. He's telling you all of these things to bring you to one conclusion at the end of the road in Romans 8. What is he speaking to you? He's speaking in a sense as this, that Christ is there and that no one will ever separate you from the love of God. No one can ever separate you from the love of God. This is the glory of the children of God, and it's provided to you by the law of the Spirit of life. No one can ever separate you from His love. It doesn't matter what someone else did. It doesn't matter what that mean old bad preacher did. It doesn't matter whatever God is doing in your life, whatever's happening around you. What matters is you know that you can't be separated from that love. Because when you know that you're not going to be separated, you can walk in the fullness of that access. You can walk in the fullness of that acceptance. And because of that, now you can begin to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Begin to cry out, Abba, Father. Begin to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of life, because the Spirit of life has changed the nature of your soul. It's given you a place to hang on to. And He'll will enforce. The Lord Himself will enforce. Because that's what the law does. It enforces the will of the King.